This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Coming to you not live from I-45 to another session of Ride Along. Today we have a special guest with us. His name is Kahari. He is in the back.
Kahari Dixon.
Kahari Dixon.
Yo, Kahari.
You might just see a floating neon shirt.
It's all right, man. I'm not this dark-skinned in real life.
Yes, he is.
I promise I'm Hershey with almond.
Is. Welcome to Houston, the city that gives you tickets for not wearing a seatbelt in the back seat. Ain't that right, Amar?
It's pretty disappointing, actually. It's pretty lame.
The greatest story never told, honestly.
What's the greatest story?
How?
I got a ticket sitting in the back seat.
How Amar got a ticket sitting in the back seat. It's like one of those commercials that you see. It's like one of those commercials where it's like... And actually, they had a Click It or Ticket commercial, too, where the guy was laughing, making fun of him. Oh, dude, you're going to get pulled over. Ah, oh, you got pulled over. And the cop comes to the guy in the car not wearing a seatbelt and gave him the ticket. Amar was in the backseat chilling like a villain.
My business.
And I always told him, like, Amar, put on your seatbelt. And he's like, man, that's whack. I'm in the backseat. And the cop says, hey, man, how are you? Can I have your license, too? And he gave him a ticket. It was amazing. That's the very condensed
version. And then when he tried to apologize for giving the driver a ticket, I told him, I said, officer, what about my ticket? Like, you didn't need to give me a ticket. And he was like, oh, well, you might as well. That's literally what he said.
Might as well.
He said, might as well.
Like,
might as well. Anyway, we're on our way right now to U of H, University of Houston. There's a gala. There's a end of the year event. So we're off to go celebrate the achievements of all those youngins. They told us to dress in our cultural dresses. So I got my Sudanese outfit on. Bilal is dressed as an ABCD. Kahari, that's an American-born confused Desi.
Yes, I have on my my golf. Oh, Mr. Officer, please don't beat me with your club shirt on.
Black Lives Matter, hashtag.
Put that right across the top.
Gotta be dressed. Like, your identity is how you dress. Like, if I dress like jeans and a t-shirt, I get no respect.
I think this leads to a discussion that we were talking about, which was, culture and identity, specifically in the U.S. or what you call the Western world.
The question is, what is culture?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to talk about something, you might as well first define it, right?
So go ahead.
The external DNA that makes you.
Talk about it.
Fill me out. Here we go.
Yeah.
So, external DNA, meaning the neighborhood you are raised in. They say it takes a village to raise a child. Meaning all these influences, like my personal influence, my cultural DNA came from my aunt who converted to Islam in the 70s. I call her my Muslim mom. I wear my heart on my sleeve came from my mom, never held anything back. And my just be able to tune things out and creative come from my father. So that's my culture. So that's what makes you.
One of the best definitions, in my opinion, was actually presented by this guy. His name is Christian Clayton, a Harvard professor. And he was actually describing the culture of companies. And what does it take to move a company from one kind of culture and into a different one? But he said that the first thing that you got to do is you got to understand what culture is. He basically said it's a combination of two things. It's a combination of, one, a set of processes, which is the way an organization or a group of people do things. You know, it's the way things are done, right? That idea.
Yeah.
Coupled with values, right? Coupled with what those people deem to be important. I think the idea of the way that the clash of cultures comes into play when they might be in sync on one of those things, but might be at odds on the other. So, for example, the idea of cleanliness, right? For example, right? What? What are you laughing
at? I'm laughing because I'm automatic. When you say clashes in culture, I'm thinking like Irish Spring versus Black Olive Soap.
Mm.
Boom! That's like the biggest culture clash ever.
Right.
Because it's so funny here in America, I can remember growing up, I remember like the kids that used to use Black Olive Soap, right?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, man, your underarms stink. Right? Real talk. But if you take that same American person, and I remember this specifically, that they took their Irish Spring over to another country, and they walked in a room and it's like, man, your soap stinks. It's amazing how that happened.
Just the idea of cleanliness and how you go about it. Although they hold the same value.
Daily showers.
What?
Daily showers.
Daily showers, right. But at the same time, the foreigners who come to the, like the Americans, they might see them like, you only shower once a week and you don't even use hand sanitizer. You know, when it comes to regular tahara stuff, like what? You don't sit down?
You've been Muslim for 6 years and you know what a stinja is?
Oh man, I don't want to get into an stinja conversation
with you. A stinja? Moving, man. 6 years?
It's a lota for those of you who don't know what it is. And for those of you who don't know what lota is,
I lost. Cut.
Cut.
Next.
Cut. Didn't take long for this topic to come up.
It's basically when you take a watering can used for
You're
plants.
You're still trying to explain it. We already fast-forwarded.
Okay, fine.
Different cultures have some things that they value so strongly and other cultures don't value it at all.
Like what?
So, for example, I have a friend of mine. He's my brother-in-law now. He's Chinese. And he is... he never, ever, ever calls his older sister by her first name.
That's like Desi people.
Yeah.
We say that Baji, or for older brothers, Bhaiya or Bhai John.
You don't call them by their first name?
It's disrespectful.
Yeah, so in my culture, that doesn't exist at all. In fact, you might even call your, you know, in some extreme cases, you even call your uncles by their first name. It's not a big deal. It's definitely more respectful, but among siblings, you rarely come across something like that. One of the most interesting things I've come across with regards to identity, as far as like pillars of identity, and I want to get your feedback on it. What are the most important aspects of a person's identity? Okay, and this is something that everybody shares. And so based on these pillars that you have, your identity is formulated. And so the first is your worldview. Right, like your aqidah, like what you see.
Well, what does worldview and aqidah have to do with each other?
Well, aqidah is your worldview.
Is it? Yeah. I thought aqidah had to do with
my theology.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I believe la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That formulates my worldview. I believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla is the only thing worthy of worship, and so He's the only one worthy of legislating. I find myself in this world as a slave of Him, who's entrusted, right, to act upon this earth in accordance to His legislation, right? What he loves.
Okay.
That affects every single aspect of my life. As opposed to somebody who, for example, doesn't believe in anything like that, and they see good according to their society, or they see goodness to be whatever secures them the most benefit.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the first. And that might be... It is the most important one. But another pillar is your language.
Language as being... Okay, yeah. Okay.
That's why we all identify with each other. So you have Bilal, myself.
It's like you walk into a 7-Eleven and you start speaking Urdu or Hindi. They're like, where are you from?
Yeah, exactly. And you'll see this in every masjid in Ramadan. You'll see that the people who share a particular language, they sit together, right? Because it creates that fraternity, it creates that affinity. It creates that shared identity. And the third is your history.
You know, on the topic of language, I heard something interesting was that this is coming from an American perspective, growing up, speaking only one language, then finally learning 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
And they said that when you only know one language, it's like seeing the world in black and white. And when you finally understand 2 or 3,
brake lights.
I got you. Backseat driver for real.
when you finally learn 2 or 3, it's like seeing the world in color, because all of a sudden you can engage with so many more people and identify with so many cultures.
That's pretty beautiful. I like that.
What was the third pillar?
Third pillar is history.
Okay.
So people who have a shared history share an identity. So. That's really where a lot of conflict comes between, for example, first generation Muslim Americans and their parents, in that their parents really want for them to share this identity. You are Pakistani, you are Sudanese, you are Egyptian, you are this. And maybe they share the language to some degree, although it's not really. in most cases, they don't really share the language, just broken form and just, you know, some pleasantries and things like that. Or, but even more so, the history won't be there. So while your parents were learning about whoever they're learning about in school, right, in politics and all of that type of stuff, you're learning about George Washington and you're learning about the Civil War and all of these things. And American so you history, have, black yeah, history. That's what you're learning about. You're not learning about, you know, Jamal Abdel Nasser or whoever. So
you're you like, know, who?
Yeah. So you
Jamal,
are
the kid in my class.
Exactly. So you're not sharing. You're not sharing any of these parts. And so, you know, this concept of creating seeds of immigrants in the United States has been a pretty failed experiment, as far as my experience has been.
What do you mean, seeds of immigrants?
Meaning them they're trying to raise, and I've seen this in lots of families where they try to raise complete, you know, people who identify towards a particular location outside of the U.S. within the U.S.
Well, but Koreans did a pretty good job of that.
I don't know. Have they?
In Philadelphia, they have a particular park called Chinatown, and no disrespect or any shade thrown at it. And what they do, it's people who like second, third generation Asian or Chinese, because we're talking about the particular country, that don't speak English at all. They just all only been around that 8-block radius. That's real.
I mean, similar like that in New York City, in Manhattan.
Yeah, but look what they had to do that, right? So first,
they had to isolate
themselves. They have the worldview. That isolation creates language. Just like when you go to a family's house where they're homeschooling their kids, they have a really strong, usually those kids will have a really strong command of the original language because they're isolated. And then you have the third, which is, you know, their history. And so it's like they never left. And so they're teaching all of these things to their children. A lot of times they have, you know, after school activities, or they may even have programming within the school to teach these types of things. And so that identity is maintained. But if you're talking about the vast majority, those are exceptions. But if you're talking about just, you know, the vast majority of immigrant children, yeah, they don't have these things.
Yeah.
And so they have a greater connection with people who, even if they aren't from their original ethnic background, they share these things with them.
Yeah.
They share the same worldview. They're Muslim, for example. They share the language, which becomes the English language. And they share a particular history, which is American history. And that's that.
First one was Aqidah. Would you translate Aqidah into English?
I translated it in this concept as worldview.
Okay, so you got your worldview.
It's not just theology.
But wouldn't language also give worldview?
What do you mean?
I mean, language is part of your worldview, isn't it?
I say worldview because it's your place with regards to the world.
Okay, your place in the world.
Like, how, like, what am I doing here?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Purpose.
Purpose.
Okay. So, let's say pillar number one is purpose and your place in the world. Second one you're saying is language. Third one you've got is history. So, things like your training, your education, how you present yourself, the clothes you decide to wear.
Yeah.
Like, all of those things are your life experiences. I mean, I guess that's shared history, maybe.
Oh, by the way, regards to history, I forgot to mention, you get strength from your history.
True. Indeed.
Like, you get incredible strength from your history. Like, I remember I was in Sudan one time, and I was in my village, and there was a little kid who was walking around. It was nighttime, and he was walking down the street, and there was, like, some scary noise. It was like, I don't remember if it was a dog barking or a donkey braying or whatever, but it was scary. So I said to the kid, like, aren't you scared? And he said, I am the son of so-and-so. And he named like his great-great-great-grandfather. He said, the killer of the lion.
Nice.
I was like, what is this guy even talking about? We don't even have lions in this area. What? I was like, well, lions, right? But then I went and I asked, I was like, who is so-and-so? And they're like, so-and-so, there's a legend about him some 100 years. And they were like, no, this area used to be forest and there were lions here 100 years ago. And I was like, subhanAllah, this kid is getting like courage and strength just from
his
history.
It's interesting you mentioned this because go ahead.
And that's the problem that we're having right there, is what you're talking about, history. a lot of people don't have that history, that ancestry. I agree with that so heavily, heavily, heavily.
Check if this thing is still even recording. It's been like an hour.
Yeah, it's recording.
Nice. Sorry, guys. I tried to save you guys from more, but apparently it's still recording. So
I mean, I guess this is an interesting discussion, but like, what are your thoughts? What do you think is a major? Woo! Nice. That's
probably like the best slide shot ever.
Mashallah. You got like downtown Houston in the background.
Yeah, right. So to close off, what do you think is the major contributor to an individual's identity? Do you agree with what we talked about? You got your own ideas, I'd love to hear it. Look forward to hearing from you guys. Take care. Peace.